When I played in the streets of Brooklyn, where sewers were the touchdowns, you tell the quarterback, I'm going to give him a stop and go. It's going to be a fake, a pump and slant.
Right by the forward, I'll cut in.
Yeah, I'll cut in by the Camaro. Meanwhile, you scrape your leg up because you hit the bumper. I don't see it out there. Now guys are just going past them, and they don't even turn around. If the cornerback doesn't turn around, you're getting your ass whipped by a flag.
For a new Ford, make it Bill Curry, Tampa Bay's first family of Ford for over 60 years. At Bill Curry, our prices are better than good. They're the best, and they're right up front with our $5,000 best price guarantee. That's right, Bill Curry will meet or beat any Ford dealer's best offer or give you $5,000 cash. Shop our huge selection of new Fords, then get the lowest price, the best price, or we'll give you $5,000 cash. Only at Bill Curry Ford, located on Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
Bucks fans, Black Friday shopping has already kicked off at Bill Curry Ford. The deals are fantastic through December 2nd, and it's all laid out for you at BillCurryFord.com. The Curry family's owned the dealership. It's been caring about our community for the last 60 years, about the same time I've been covering the NFL, and they will take great care of you. They even have a $5,000 best price guarantee, $5,000, to make sure you're getting the best deal possible. That's BillCurryFord.com. That's where you want to go right now, or their showroom just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry.
Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford for presenting the Ira Kaufman podcast and all of Ira's work at JoeBucksFan.com. Pin Chasers. Every single day there is a great bowling special and just a fun special at Pin Chasers. Pinchasers.net, that's where you will find your nearest location. Two in Tampa, one in Pasco County. Cyber Saturday is coming up every Saturday. High energy music, club lighting, friends. What else do you need on a Saturday night? 2-hour special is $14.29 for kids and $15.29 for adults. Unlimited bowling, $16 a person from 11 o'clock till close. Free shoes all the time. Great food, great fun. Pinchasers.net. We also thank Buffalo Wild Wings, hosts of the Ira Kaufman World Tour. Every time the Bucks are on the road, Ira is at a different Buffalo Wild Wings location, and he's hanging out with you, watching the game with fans, hanging out before, after. You can buy him a piece of chocolate cake, anything off the Buffalo Wild Wings menu. A lot of times he will buy you something as well. The schedule is at joebucksfan.com. Your nearest Buffalo Wild Wings location is found at buffalowildwings.com, and you can watch all the games there all the time, of course. And next up for Ira on the road tour, a couple of weeks, Bucks at Atlanta. He will be in St. Pete at the Tyrone Boulevard location. Buffalo Wild Wings, thank you for your support of the Ira Kaufman World Tour.
I'm the demographic for X-Lax.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, here we are. I'm Lee DeCamp with JoeBucksFan.com. I'm sitting here with the world-renowned, the internationally popular, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the wizard of Whoopi, the custodian of Canton, the one and only Ira Kaufman. Now, Ira, you're probably like most of us. You thought the Bucks were going to lose this game. When Arizona had a lead, they had the ball in the 15-yard line of the Bucks. 3 minutes and change to go. It was like we're all starting to write our obituary for the game.
The Kemper, I have now gathered and generated the utmost respect from Buck Nation. And by that I mean I am a man of the people. And the will of the people was, Kaufman, stop picking the Bucks. You're a hell of a jinx. So 2 weeks in a row, I picked against them and they lost. And this time I picked Arizona. Because I don't want to be a jinx, even though it snapped my two-game winning streak. I did not pick the Bucks to win, and they found a way. That's the lesson of the day, right? They found a way.
And that's just what Holly Saunders' boyfriend said. If people want to know who Holly Saunders is,
it's
I recommend...
It's unbelievable how you find these people.
I recommend Holly Saunders. You Google Holly Saunders, but for those who don't know, she's a...
Wasn't she on the Golf Channel?
She's on the Golf Channel. She now works for Fox Sports. And she currently, shall we say, has a dalliance with Cliff Kingsbury. And her boyfriend, Cliff Kingsbury, said just what you said after the game. The Bucks found a way to win. How many years have we been talking about this team can't find a way to win? They can find a way to lose. They can't find a way to win.
Well, speaking of Miss Saunders, I'm taking golf lessons over at the Tampa Bay Downs
with
in her country club, and my instructor Joey DePompo doesn't look anything like Holly Saunders.
I bet you flustered.
No, he's a good instructor. But
I bet you flustered with Holly Saunders.
He can't fill out a skirt like Holly Saunders over here. Lee, they found a way. You know what? They made plays. They made plays down the stretch. Jamel Dean made a play. Levante David made a play. I call him old reliable. The first fumble lost by the Arizona Cardinals all season.
Best I can tell, when Kyler Murray threw that pick that Jamel Dean got, that broke a streak of 211 pass attempts
without
a pick.
I think that's about right.
That's incredible for a rookie. 211?
Hey, give Murray his due. He's a poised rookie. He looks good. I think Arizona's in good hands with him. You know what struck me today, Lee? Other than one snap, he did not hurt the Bucs on the ground. And he leads them in rushing. And a lot of people think he's just as dangerous with his legs as his arm. I was kind of impressed with his arm today. He makes good decisions, this kid. You don't have the greatest weapons to throw. This guy Kirk looked like, Raymond Berry over here. I mean...
And Larry Fitzgerald,
he's still good, including a fantastic one-handed catch.
Yeah.
That's why he's going to wear a gold jacket, and I'm gonna vote for him as a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He's savvy, isn't he?
Who knows when he's going to retire? And then you got to be retired 5 years. I'll probably be off the committee by then. I'll be in a rocking chair.
Okay, but you know what? He's savvy. He knows how he got that. He got that flag. He drew the flag. It really wasn't defensive interference, but he was savvy. He knew how to pull a flag.
Well, speaking of flags. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. Didn't Arizona get a 4th-and-5 pass interference call against the Bucs on an incompletion? People thought, that's it. Cardinals are done. And I asked the Arians. I said, didn't you think, here we go again? And you know me with flags.
Mm-hmm.
You know me with flags. And by the way, they proved again today. You throw your share of down-the-field balls, you're going to get a couple of flags.
Mm-hmm.
It happens every week, Lee. But the Bucs overcame that. Now, they got some breaks. Lee, I thought they got some breaks. A guy dropped a short touchdown when there was nobody around him. It was a defensive miscommunication. The coach said he lost it in the sun. Well, you know what? You got to make that catch.
Yeah.
You got to make that catch. The Bucs got some other breaks, but they made their own breaks in other respects. So, look, you can't stack them unless you get the first one, Lee. Can't stack them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here come the Saints. They're going to be in an ornery, pissant mood. But, bring it on. And, one thing about the crowd, I'll say this, Lee. They didn't come out in number, as I wrote, but they were full-throated. I mean, they were passionate.
That's Al Michaels line, full-throated.
Full-throated. You knew they were there, once the game was hanging in the balance.
But you know what? Halfway through the fourth quarter, when it looked gloom and doom, you could hear a pin drop in this place. Everybody's like, oh, no, they're going to lose.
And Lee, and how I hate very much to throw you any ammo, any bouquets, but I'll be the first to say, after the first 90 seconds of the game, Jameis Winston keeps playing good football. He's playing good football. Scoring a lot of points.
Yeah, what I like today about Jameis, and he wasn't at his best. Obviously, the first pass, the first possession, is like, oh, no, bad Jameis. And I was telling Roy Cummings this, and he agreed with me, believe it or not. He doesn't agree with me too often. This he agreed with me. And I said, you know what? My idea is, I said, forget a guy's name. I said, the reason I was so adamant a few years ago that the Bucs go get a quarterback, I said, I got sick and tired of seeing the Bucs. They needed a touchdown. It's 2 minutes to go in the game. They got the ball on their own 20, and they don't have a snowball's chance of moving the ball. And you know what? For all of Jameis' faults, and I would think even the haters would admit this, this son of a gun puts his team in position to win late in games. He may not get the job done, but you know what? The Giants, they should have beat the Giants. He's the one that marched them down the field, and I thought they should have kept going, but Arians played turtle and tried to set up for a field goal. Well, that was Jameis that set him up. Jameis tied the game, or didn't tie, gave the Bucs a lead against Seattle. He look what he did today. He got him a lead, marched 92 yards. We saw what he did that 1 year against New Orleans. Unfortunately, that cost him Quentin Nelson, but... That's one reason I like Jameis, because he can, when in crunch time, he can move the ball.
He's playing some good football, Lee. And he's got some help. And in that regard, Lee, let's talk about Ronald Jones. Now, that was a terrible fumble by Jones, because it came without contact. And you can't do that.
Especially that time of the game.
And that time of the game. It was a fourth quarter play. But he did a lot of good things.
Yes.
Arians was talking about his blocking, or maybe he missed a block.
Mm.
Well, he has personally... resurrected the screen pass in the Buck playbook. It's been missing for four freaking years since my man, Charles Sims, did it to perfection the year Cutter was the offensive coordinator. All of a sudden, a guy who's supposed to have stone hands got thrown the ball eight times today, and he caught the ball eight times today. Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. He's got a knack for making people miss in open space. He's pretty dangerous on that screen pass. And going forward, that could be a very nice weapon in Winston's repertoire. And he's running the ball pretty darn well, too. But his fumble, that can't happen. I don't know if he was trying to change hands. I'm not sure what he was doing.
It was like he heard ghosts or something.
But it's not like it's wet out and the ball slippery.
No. Beautiful weather, yeah.
It's just a terrible fumble. But he played a good game. He did play
a good
game.
Now,
what'd you think of the Mike Evans, Larry Fitzgerald, I called it the game within the game. Now, Fitzgerald left midway through the fourth quarter with a calf injury. And that might have hurt them on Tampa Bay's
final
drive.
That was Fitz? Okay, I thought that was Peterson.
That was Peterson. Yeah, Peterson left. But Evans got the job done. He had 80 yards, and Peterson had his moments, too. That was a good battle. Premature, from Evans' standpoint. Probably two Hall of Famers going against each other. Evans is on a Hall of Fame arc.
Yes. He's on trajectory. Well,
he's only halfway there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, the guy's had a hell of a career.
How many yards did he have today? I didn't even check.
He had 82 yards.
Okay, if he had, like, 182, he would have reached 1,000 already. He may do that next week, then. You were talking about Evans, and Mr. Holly Saunders said after the game, Mike Evans is the best receiver in this league.
He's got 924 yards. And you know what that averages out to? That's 100 yards a game.
That's pretty good.
And that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, pretty good average. Yeah, Mr. Holly Saunders, who has Larry Fitzgerald on his roster, said Mike Evans is the best receiver. Although, you have to take this with a grain of salt. You know why? You know their background, right? Kingsbury was Mike Evans' offensive coordinator at Texas A&M.
But still, he's got Larry Fitzgerald on his side. You got Michael Thomas. You got great receivers in this league. And he called Mike Evans. Now, if he said that 3 days before the game, I'd say he's just buttering up Evans. Mm. He said it after the game.
Yeah.
That's ultimate respect for
Evans.
Wow,
interesting. Now, you know, you talk about catching passes. Welcome back, O.J. Howard.
No question about it.
No, welcome back. And I talked to him after the game, and everybody's talking about his touchdown, which was a great catch, don't get me wrong. The play that set up that touchdown was mind-blowing. That, you know, right when Jameis let it loose, you're like, no, Jameis,
no, Jameis. I can't believe he threw that ball. It was heavy traffic.
Yeah, it was almost triple coverage, and he came up with that ball. Now, I always hear this, and I only got the, you know, I didn't get to see a replay. And I only saw, you know, it's like bang, bang when you're watching it live. I'm up in the press box. We're like on the goal line, 10-yard line is where we sit. The pass literally on the other side of the stadium. Other side of the field and the other side of the stadium. For a split second there, I thought, and I hear this a lot, that if a quarterback sees the back of the helmet of a defensive back, he throws it at the helmet. Because obviously the guy can't see it, the receiver can see it, and in worst case scenario, your favorite play, a flag. And I asked OJ, I said, was that what Jameis saw? And I said, you were covered. And that was a hell of a catch, don't get me wrong. And obviously Jameis threaded the needle. I said, for a split second, I thought, I saw the back of the helmet of a defensive back. Is that what happened? He goes, that's absolutely what happened. And he said, they're taught. Quarterbacks are taught. You see the back of the helmet of the defensive back, you throw at that helmet because that guy, number one, doesn't see the ball coming. Number two, probably can't react quick enough. But your receiver can.
Oh, I just thought of another break I thought the Bucs got today was the missed field goal by Gay and the offside penalty.
Yeah.
You know, he missed it. He was wide left, and he got another shot, and he got it.
And if that was Roberto Aguayo, he probably would have missed the second one.
So, offensive line, Lee, I don't give him anything better than a C. Winston was sacked four times, and harassed other times. Run blocking wasn't great, although I thought on Ronald Jones' touchdown run, that was good blocking off left guard.
Well, you know what? There was a hole there for him to run. He popped it outside. I will say this about the offensive line. In the third quarter, the tackles were getting eaten up. Donovan Smith, DeMar Dawson.
Chandler Jones is a heck of a player, Lee.
Oh, yes.
He's a heck of a player.
No question, but every play they were getting eaten up. Jameis, there was a couple plays he didn't have a prayer. But, yeah, you're right. The offensive line, at best, C, at best. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit more about Dean Lee. Now, look, everybody knows what happened to Dean in Seattle. First of all, he wasn't supposed to play that extensively. And Carlton Davis goes down. So that jars you right away because it affects your mindset. You know, he figures he's going to, you know, play 25 snaps and all of a sudden he's playing 60 or whatever. Had a rough day. Lockett had his way with them, some other guys, Metcalf. And you're playing the best quarterback in football at the moment in Russell Wilson. We'll see how he does Monday night against the Niners and that defense. But he had a heck of a day, Lee. Now, Kirk caught three touchdowns, and I said he abused a variety of Buck defensive backs in the process. And Dean gave up, you know, his share of completions. But he had four pass breakups. That's a big number.
Yeah.
The Bucs only had six as a team. I'm starting to think Dean's going to be a player, Lee. I don't mind this guy.
Ira, did you not hear through your wide network of sources that there are people within One Buck Palace that believe the secondary is too young to win with?
I have heard that, and more specifically, not a veteran presence. And you're not going to count Vernon Hargraves as a veteran presence.
It was benched briefly today.
It was benched briefly, and he's struggling as much as anybody in that secondary. I mean a leader that's been through the wars, that's played in big games. They don't have it. And I think looking back, Lee, the offseason, free agency, and maybe even the trade deadline, because you've been up big on that, maybe some regrets that they didn't address it. It has hurt this team. It almost bit him in the butt today because Murray certainly had his, you know, he threw three touchdown passes to the same guy. That, you know, what I said in the column was, again, let's not pretend this thing is fixed.
No.
It's far from fixed. But Dean is showing me something. I'm not closing the book on Carlton Davis. Bunting got beat bad.
No,
and you know what I notice a lot, Lee? And I think it's a little different from the old days. Maybe because of the rules favor the offense so much. A lot of times I look at the receivers catching balls, even touchdowns. They don't even make a move, Lee. There's no move. What happened to the moves, the great moves?
Yeah.
You know, Larry Fitzgerald was known for his great... I remember a game, Lee, I'm sure you were here.
Was this against Revis?
It was against Revis. It was a fantastic double move by Fitzgerald. Now, the quarterback had enough time to throw it. I guess it was Palmer. And he put a double move on Revis. I've never seen such technique and precision by Larry Fitzgerald. Beat him.
I know you waxed poetic about that.
I thought
that
it was fantastic.
Yeah.
You don't see that out here anymore.
No.
Now I see a guy just run right past the guy. No move, no slow down, no stop and go, whatever. When I played in the streets of Brooklyn, you know, where sewers were the touchdowns, you tell the quarterback, I'm going to give him a stop and go. It's going to be a fake, a pump and slant.
Right by the Ford, I'll cut in.
Yeah, I'll cut in by the Camaro. Meanwhile, you scrape your leg up because you hit the bumper. I don't see it out there, Lee. Now guys are just going past him. And they don't even turn around. If the cornerback doesn't turn around, you're getting your ass whipped by a flag.
Now, did you said you scraped your leg when you hit the bumper.
I did.
Were you trying to impress Muriel Berkowitz?
No, that was years before I ever met her. I was trying to impress Joey Lobianco. Now, let me say something about Joey Lobianco, because the listeners love this personal stuff. He was a guy across the street. He was a tough kid. He lived on the top floor. Everybody was scared of him. Why were we scared of him? Because in his wallet, and this sounds crazy, but when you're 10 years old, this is the way you think. He'd show you his wallet. He had a dragonfly in his wallet. And those dragonflies, they look mean as hell. Like, they could bite your head off. It was dead, of course. But he kept it in his wallet. Other people keeping pictures of, you know, Raquel Welch. He's got a dragonfly. Scared the hell out of everybody. How are you going to follow that, the Kemper? You can't follow that.
Maybe. Here's my stand. There's this family back home. They're just good people who'll do anything for you. And they had a bunch of sons who were wild. They were crazy. Good guys. They're honest as day is long. You ask for help, they just drop whatever they're doing and help you for days. Great people. But they were crazy. Well, a friend of mine, she lived next door to me. She was telling me how she was babysitting for them once. All the boys, you know, the parents were out doing whatever.
Whatever she was getting paid, it wasn't enough to Kemper.
Well, she knew what she was getting into, and it was about 10 o'clock at night, and she's watching TV, and she thought to herself, it's too quiet.
It's too quiet.
Something's up. So she went to the bedroom, and it was like, you know, one of these bedrooms that before boys shared the bedroom, and all these guys were supposed to be in bed for the night. And she walks by the door, and she hears all this giggling, just this wild giggling. What's going on? She opened up the door, and what these guys did was
Are you sure you can tell this on my podcast?
Yeah, what these guys did was, that night, they caught a bunch of lightning bugs. So when they got sent to bed, and when the doors were closed and the lights were off, they uncorked the jar of lightning bugs. And all these lightning bugs are flying around in the bedroom.
That was a big deal back then, lightning bugs. Yeah. It was a big deal. Now, Lee, one thing we have to hasten to add, and, you know, we can laugh about this because the Bucks won the game. Lee, and you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. They never make it easy, Lee.
No.
They never come out and beat a team 24-7. It never happens. And the game always takes 3 hours and 25 minutes. It's always going to end about 4:20, no matter what the hell happens. Now, flags.
Oh my God.
Were 20 flags today, Lee. 20 combined. I mean, that's not good football.
No.
And I'm not necessarily blaming the Bucks and the Cardinals for it. These officials better learn to swallow their whistles, Lee. I'm tired of
it. I'm starting to think that. You know, I heard this in a college game a couple weeks ago. It was Oklahoma, and they have a new defensive coordinator this year. It looked like he was doing a heck of a job until the last couple weeks. But anyway, one of the announcers said they were talking to the defensive coordinator or one of the players. And one of the players said the defensive coordinator told one of the defensive backs, you aren't doing your job unless once in a while you get a flag thrown. Well, that's the problem. I always wondered if part of it was coaching, part of it was officiating. That Raiders game the other night, the Raiders-Chargers game, I almost had to turn the channel. Flag after flag after flag. I think Joe Buck's nickname was Flag on the Field. It was like Joe Flag on the Field Buck. And at one time he said Flag on the Field and Troy Aikman, you're kidding. I've turned NFL games off that were good games. I've turned college games off that were good games because I don't watch officials. I want to watch the teams. And if it gets to be too flag happy, I'm like, oh, I'll watch something else.
Hey, Lee, when I was walking back towards the press elevator, that's 45 minutes after the game. We'd already been in the locker room, ready to talk to Arians. I see a bunch of people coming out of the tunnel. They were on the field, maybe posing for some pictures. It was the Marpet family.
Oh, yeah?
Which is a hell of a family.
Yeah.
I mean, the father's great. He's a character.
He reads your column always.
And I saw Marpet, and he just looked happy and drained. Absolutely drained because, like, finally we got one.
Yeah.
Finally we made the plays at the end. Like, coaches telling us, we got to be the ones that are smart in the fourth quarter. We are the ones. I think that was the overwhelming sense in the locker room. Dotson finally saying, we made some plays. And they're tired of hearing Arians say it. Now, as soon as we got in the locker room, you made a beeline, and I got to give you credit, right into that corner. And the next thing I knew, you were surrounded by about 20 other reporters. You were right in front of Jason Pierre-Paul, probably the most emotional player in this locker room, day in, day out. Holds court every Wednesday in the locker room. Sharp guy. He's nobody's dummy. Now, Lee, the cameras caught an emotional outburst. He was a wild man. JPP was a wild man. From what I saw, he was just mad at everybody. But I heard that he directed some or quite a bit of his frustration at Vita Vea. Did you end up getting to ask him about that at all?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I don't know how to play with JPP. What I mean by that is, some guys you know how you should ask them, if you be direct, if you beat around the bush. And I've never had much luck with JPP, although he's always been up front with me. So I was waiting for him at his locker for, at least 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. And at one point, he looked at me and goes, hey, bro, give me some room. You're making it hot in here. Okay. And I just got this question in when the mob came from behind me. I asked him, I said, you know, Fox cameras caught you being emotional on the sidelines. I know you're a passionate guy. You're an emotional guy. Can you explain what was going on? And I was waiting for him to, like, jump on me, like, go to hell. I'm not talking about that. And he came right out in the middle. He goes, I got into it via...
Well, was it after a particular play?
It was after a play, and it wasn't specific what play, and I should have asked him what play it was. I'm sure it was a pass play because the two plays before the defense came out the field were two incompletions by Murray. So apparently he said, hey, it was a miscommunication. It was my fault. It was my problem, and I got mad at Villa.
He admitted he got mad at Villa.
Yeah, it was my problem. He says miscommunication. And what he said was in a real long about way, I'm condensing it here. Basically what it was, this is still training camp for him. And it's a new defense for him too. It wasn't like it's a carryover from last year. So there's a lot of calls that he still isn't on the same page as the rest of the teammate. Well, he thought based on a certain formation, he was supposed to do X. And Villa said, no, you're supposed to do Y. Well, JPP said in NFL etiquette, if there's confusion on the field, you know, rather than calling a timeout, you always go by seniority. The old guy, or in JPP's words, I'm the old cat. The older guy, the guy with seniority, you go with what he says.
He wanted that kind of respect. No question about it.
I'm assuming that might have been part of it. That's a good point. I never thought of it that way. So he made a call, and JPP said, when you make the call, you have to make sure everybody hears it. He made the call. He said he didn't hear Villa confirm it. So he said, you know what? I'm doing this call. He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. And JPP kind of said, you know, I'm the one that's supposed to speak up. I'm just the one that make sure everybody's on the same page. So he was taking most of the fault for it. And he also said that he was so, his words, not mine, crunk, because he was drained, that I guess he was unable to talk loud enough. So he put all the blame on himself. And basically what it came down to, he made call X, and it was supposed to be call Y. Villa was correct, but JPP, anyway, Villa didn't hear him. And so I guess after the play, JPP blew up, saying, hey, man, if we're confused, you know I'm supposed to be the one to listen to. You freelanced. And Villa said, I never heard you. And JPP, and that's what happened.
I'm going to tell you, Lee, I'm going to tell you a little conversation I had with a guy that's growing in your eyes each week. Number 45, his name happens to be Devin White.
Made some good plays today.
Made some good plays. And so I go up to him, and first thing I said to him, not a bad weekend for Devin White, starting with LSU on Saturday. Not a bad weekend. Gave me a big, big smile. Then I said to him, boy, you got your hands on that third touchdown. Your fingertips.
Goes, oh, that touchdown.
Yeah. He goes, oh, man, I was so close to knocking that ball down or maybe even picking it off. Mm-hmm. So it's an example of how he was around the ball for most of the day. He's coming on fastly. I had a little chat with Coach Arians in the morning, just me and him, after I finished my Fox tailgate at about 11, I looked out on the field and I see Arians, you know, and he's hanging with some of his guys. Tom Moore was over there. And I waited a couple minutes and he came back towards the bench and I walked over to him. And we chatted a little bit and I asked him specifically about Devin White. He goes, he's coming on strong, Ira, real strong. He's going to be a hell of a player. Now, I want to give you my final words to Devin White. So I go, what'd you think of Murray? I said, poised rookie, isn't he? He goes, man, that kid's going to be really good, really good. And then I throw this out at him, just for conversation. I go, he might be faster than you, White. Just like that. He might be fast. I said, he didn't hurt you on the ground today, except for that one run.
One run.
But I said, he might be faster than you. White turns around. He was getting dressed. He turned right around, looks at me. He goes, not so fast, buddy. Not so fast. I mean, it was outstanding. So that everybody was in a great mood. Yeah, and what a difference a win makes in that locker room.
Oh, sure. Had they lost again, I was like, okay, I know I'm going to talk to JPP because of that blow up. I wanted to find out what was going on.
And you're thinking, like, who the hell else can I talk
exactly.
to? Maybe Dotson.
Exactly. Yeah, you know. I mean, and I've told players this before, and I think I'm more susceptible because I'm not working for a newspaper. I'm not required. But I've told this to Donovan Smith before. I told it to Ali Marpet before. I said, man, when you guys lose X amount in a row, the last thing we want to do is come down and pester you in the locker room. And I said, it gets to the point after so many losses, you know, what are you going to say? There's nothing to say. And I said, you know, we don't want to go down there anymore. You want to talk to us. And I'm like, whoa, we never thought of that before. And I said, I talked to Vernon Hargreaves after the game, and he confessed he was benched briefly. He said the coaches told him they thought he was loafing, that he wasn't given enough effort. He disputed that, but he said, I knew I was going to get back in this game. Someone's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to do something. Something's going to happen. I'm going to get back in this game. Sure enough, MJ Stewart got hurt, so he got back in the game. Anyway, I was talking to him. I said, well, tell me what you think. I said, your defense, you've had some rough games, the defense. And I said, here you were on the field, win or lose, and this time it's the defense that put the game away, that you guys finally did it. And he looks at me and goes, you said the perfect word, finally.
Hey, by the way, guess what the Bucs are averaging in their last seven games since week two, basically? 32 points a game.
They were averaging 31 or 34, I thought.
That's pretty damn good.
You know, I'm getting people mad when I say this. You know, just when I was about ready to give up on Jameis, I happened to come across a stat that at the time they led the league in scoring. Like, whoa, 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 whoa. The quarterback everybody wants to run out of town is in charge of the highest scoring offense? Whoa, what's going on? And that completely flipped my mind when I saw that.
And you've heard me say it the last couple of weeks. Winston's playing some good football, Lee.
Inconsistent, but that's him.
He was better last week than he was today.
Yeah.
He was better last week in a tougher place against a tougher team. Although Seattle's defense isn't that good. It's not that good.
There's a guy I know, pretty sure he listened to your podcast. I know he reads
not
the
site. Not Esbitz, is it? It's not Esbitz. All right. I think he reads my stories. Yeah.
And this guy, he's a TV producer, hardcore football fan. Well, he played some college ball. And he tweeted out a graphic, a picture that sums up Jameis. It was a roller coaster.
Nice.
That's what he is. He's a roller coaster. You watching Jameis is like riding a roller coaster. I mean, you're biting your nails. Oh my gosh, he's going. I mean, it's just like you're living on the edge of your seat when this guy plays.
In the first Not minute of the game, Lee, when that ball was picked off, you were thinking it's going to be another one of those games. He forced that ball.
Yeah.
He should have never thrown it. He does it two or three times a game.
Yeah.
He forces the ball. And he should not throw that ball. Now, he's been getting away with it a little bit more, but it bit him a little bit early. You know, they were behind three different times today, mm-hmm. the Bucks. So that makes this win even sweeter. Lee, we'll be back later in the week to discuss more about the Saints rolling in. They're in a pissy mood.
Raheem.
Of course. Well, no, the Saints.
I know, but look what Raheem did. Why are the Saints in a pissy
mood? Oh, yeah, Raheem. You're right. Raheem took over the secondary.
Yep.
Outstanding.
And look what happened.
And
that's why the Saints are in a pissy mood. They lost to the Falcons.
Now, Lee, we're probably not going to meet till Wednesday after we go into the Buck locker room. So I don't want you pissing off JPP. And I don't want to have to bring bandages and JPP take a swipe at you. Be careful around the big man.
I will. And I got to ask you something real quick here. And Jameis said this last week. I don't think we got a chance to talk about it. What do you make of Jameis coming out and saying he's doing a better job of throwing away the football than he's ever had in his NFL career?
I think it's shown.
That's a dubious claim, I think.
It's a dubious claim because it's year five and not year two.
Well,
what's taking so long?
Well, that's number one. But number two, I think it's dubious because I don't know that he is. Yeah, like you said, he forces some balls.
Well, he is still forcing some balls. Mm-hmm. He can't get that gene out of his body yet. But it's on its way out. And let's hope it gets all the way out. Because the Saints have a good defense. I believe Lattimore might have got hurt today. That could be a big factor because he locks up Evans. He gets in Evans' head. But Mike Evans is on a nice roll right now. Kingsbury calls him the best receiver in football. Lee, I'm not sure he's wrong.
But you know another guy you can make an argument is a good receiver in football? Godwin. A couple weeks ago, your buddy Peter King said that's the best 1-2 punch in football.
I think that's right. Jones on the screen pass. Very effective. And I say keep it going. Don't go away from it because it takes the sting out of the other team's pass rush. All of a sudden they're thinking twice, the linebacker and the defensive end. Well, you know, I got to keep an eye on Jones on third and nine. And the Bucs converted a lot of long third downs with those balls to Jones. I thought he had stone hands, my friend. What happened?
Todd McNair happened. He's fixing it. Running back coach for the Bucs. One guy who really didn't stick out. I mean, he did, but he didn't. And in some ways, you could say he had an understated game, but I thought he did pretty darn well. Shaq Barrett.
Yeah, I know you were talking about Shaq Barrett.
I know he had a good sack. I know
he had a sack. He had a good sack.
He also had some really good stops in the run game.
Good player, and more importantly, Shaq Barrett's agent is having a very good season.
Oily Drew Rose.
Let's leave it at that.
Levante David, is he having a Pro Bowl season?
He's having a hell of a season. Even in games that the Bucs lose, he's playing very well. Mm-hmm. Today, he made a spectacular play. Not just the strip, but the recovery. And thank God for replay on that one, because you and I are always killing replay. They got that one right. Mm-hmm. That was a fumble. The ruling on the field, no fumble. Overruled.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the replay. They finally got a good angle on it. And when they showed that other angle, it was clear it was going to be overturned. Lee, this is how you start stacking them up. That's one for the books, baby. Bring it out.